2 p.m. I'm going to call this meeting to order. Everybody rise for the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
I used to. I always copy. Okay, we're going to go to agenda item number 3. Public comments and announcements. Do we have any public comments?
I'd like to make one. Okay. I just wanted to say congratulations to hoteliers, industry. It looks like we're up like 20-30% from last year, which is great. So way to go. And, you know, last year was actually a really difficult summer, as most of us know. July was really hard on us, so... you know, we have a little bit more ways to go to get to where we were in 23 and 24. We're about like 500,000 to 700,000 until we are there. So we got a little bit more of a road to go, but it's we're getting there. It's great.
Yeah, we're actually outperforming most of our Texas, if not all of our Gulf Coastal communities right now. So if you want to, if anybody is out there that wants to know more about that and how our hotel occupancy tax is performing, later this month we'll have some data to show how well we're doing compared to the rest of our Texas Gulf cities.
Good job. Okay, we're going to move on to agenda item number 4, approved consent agenda. Do you have a motion to approve?
I'll make a motion to approve the consent.
I have a motion. Do I have a second?
I second.
Oh.
Seconds? Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All against? Motion carries. Moving on to agenda item number 5.5.1, discussion with Bird Promotions regarding past event, festival events on South Padre Island. Mr. Henry.
I understand there's a lot of questions regarding invoicing and receipts and et cetera. I want to use this time appropriately. We invited Bird Productions here. For those on the committee, as a committee, they could ask Bird Productions any questions they have regarding their events. And this is an opportunity to do so. So perfect. Introduce Raul and his brother. And as a committee, please take it away. Fire your questions at these two lovely individuals.
Hello, good afternoon, everybody. Good to see some familiar faces. My name's Raul Garcia with Bird Promotions. I'd also like to introduce.
My name is Ricky Garcia. Very nice to meet you all.
For the record, we are not twins, just so you guys know, all right? They keep on confusing us, but we're not. I'd like to thank you guys for the invitation. We're glad to be here and are open for any questions you guys might have. Before that, though, just to give you a little bit brief of what Bird Promotion, how long we've been around and what we've done and all that. We've been around since 1988. We're going on 37 years this November. We've been doing concerts and shows throughout the whole state of Texas and everywhere else, wherever they need our services. So just wanted to give you guys a little glimpse of our history. So would you like to add anything onto that, Rick?
Just in 1988, I was in eighth grade, just so you all know. It was not...
I was the one that started it. He was a little younger.
Just to be clear for the record here.
He just wants you to know who's the youngest.
No point, yes.
Whatever, guys, I know you guys had some questions and concerns. Please feel free to ask any questions and whatever I can help you guys with.
I do like to add one other thing, is and we do like to thank you for the invitation to coming out here. We're actually pretty excited about it. We haven't had a chance to meet you guys. I know there were some that hadn't met us yet, and especially myself. I'm usually the one in the background. It's usually Mr. Always got to say that's in the forefront here. But we really wanted to thank you guys for everything you've done, you know, in the past as well. Obviously, we've been working with the CVB now going on 3 years.
3 years, yeah.
So we do appreciate the invite where we get to finally get to meet you guys. So we're here, and whatever you guys, at your service, whatever you need.
And just to make a point on that, 3 years with the CVB, but I've been in this area for over 15 years doing concerts and festivals. So it's not a new place for me. So and everybody from the island's been awesome. From you name it, they've always they've received Bird Promotions and myself really well. So I like to thank everybody for that.
What else, aside from the city events that we're aware that you guys do? What else do you guys do? I mean, like bigger ones that we would be aware of.
We've done, we do concerts specifically from all sorts of genres, from Tejano music to country music to gospel music. We book Jeremy
Camp. Where mainly do they take place?
They take place normally throughout the whole valley. We have, as a matter of fact, we had a meeting today that we ended up moving for tomorrow in San Antonio because we have a concert pending over there. So we had an on-site visit over there with the venue. But we wanted to accept this invitation first, and we were able to reschedule the meeting.
Wonderful. Thank you so much for being here. And as you are probably very much aware, I am the one with particularly the most questions, I believe. We have all shared sentiment that that we do have more questions to ask. So it's great that you're here to answer those for us.
Yes, ma'am.
I have also received communication that you will be providing receipts for the expenditures that for the money that was allocated.
Yes, ma'am.
Glad we cleared that up.
Yes, ma'am. And I apologize on that. We, you know, I just opened up an email today when I was heading out this way, and we noticed that, and we apologize on that. We weren't prepared for that. We were just coming in here to introduce ourselves, et cetera.
Okay. Just moving forward with all of the events, we ask for invoices and receipts, and invoices are not the sole representation for the expenditures.
Okay. Understood.
Thank you. I do have several questions. I'm going to start with just some general questions. The first one would be, we have an understanding that there were no vendors, no sponsorship, and no liquor sales. Can you please clarify what that means for four events for 3 years?
Which event are we talking about?
We can...
I think the events that we were going to be covering are going to be Crawfish, Chrome in the Sand, and Tacos and Tequila, and a craft
Beer and Wine.
Yes. Yeah. So it would be for those four, probably.
Correct. All four of those.
So for the most part, especially because these festivals, they're in the building stages, correct? So a lot of these vendors, most of these vendors, the last thing you want to do is scare them off with an expensive price to come and be part of this event. The whole plan here was to get the community involved, et cetera. So a lot of those vendors, we didn't even charge for them to come and it was more to they get some exposure, to get the community involved. So that's the reason why we really didn't make any funds for the vendors. I'm sorry, we didn't make any money on that. It was more of an in kind on my end to have a spot, and the more vendors we had there, the better the festival would be.
Okay. So to clarify, you did not charge vendor fees for any of the festivals?
Not on all of them. Some we did, but not most of them we did not.
And what did you charge for the ones that you did?
We were charging $100, $200 at the most, depending if it was a food vendor, $200. If it was a non-food, $100.
Okay. And where does that money go?
It goes back to operational expenses.
Okay. Do you have a P&L that you could provide of the operational expenses that you used so that we can clearly have a better picture of what you were able to aggregate?
Absolutely.
Between food, liquor, and vendor sales against your operating expenses?
Yes, ma'am.
Roel, just to be clear, you know, I have also been an event producer. I am in no way advocating that you do not make money here, okay? So, but we do need to have a better understanding of what that looks like as we continue to fund these events, okay?
Absolutely.
All right, so I think within that question, it is my understanding that the CBB does take some of the money, takes a percentage of that money it just belongs to an MOU or your contract with the CBB. Was that money allocated back to the CBB?
Well, since there was not money to be given back, that's the reason why the city hasn't gotten anything back. There really wasn't money made to be sharing anything like that. But absolutely, once we get to that point, that's the whole goal.
Are we still talking about vendors, or are you including liquor sales and sponsorships in that statement?
Whatever's the agreement that we have with the CVB.
Lori, can you clarify what's in that MOU? Are we referring to sales commissions, the 20% or et cetera?
No, The MOU, and I don't have it in front of me, but the MOU, if I remember correctly, spells out the sponsorship dollar amount that goes in towards the event. And then we provide a median banner, if I'm not mistaken. And then I don't think there's anything that stipulates in there that money's paid back to the
city. I think you're correct. I think not in the MOU, but potentially within a CBB contract because it is held at the convention center. Mm-hmm. Did you not act on recruiting those monies because it was an in-kind type event, or was there no money to give back?
I think it was a combination of both, because there was a lot of in-kind and there was not money to be given back to the city. And of course, the goal is, when we get to that point, we want everybody to make money, and we would want to see these events grow as big than any other, the Onion Fest in San Antonio or anything like that. I mean, the potential is here, and that's the reason why I stuck around for so long on the island, because I see the vision, I see the big potential. Mr. Henry, everybody at the CVB sees the same thing.
I know every event is different, but right. When do you think these events would start making money? Like, what year, how many times do you think? I mean, just, again, it's every event is different, so it's very hard
correct,
to do. But
correct.
In your history, being around since 1988, what do you see for these events? How long until we get that threshold where there is money being made?
And you're absolutely right. Every event is different. You know, the rule of thumb on any brick-and-mortar business runs, what is it, about 18 months or so, give or take, you know, to see any type of return on any business. Here, it's a little different. You know, it all depends. Every year, it could be a great year the first year, and the second year it could probably flop. You know, it. But
when do you call it quits? I mean, like, when would you give up on
it? I think after the fourth to fifth year, we would you know, have a better idea. Okay, is this making any sense or not? But I don't see it shutting down anytime soon, because they've been successful. To my knowledge, you know, there's been a great return on investment on these festivals. So I don't see it shutting down anytime soon. They're going to grow, and the whole goal is to be self-sustained without coming to ask, you know, if we have to come and ask for any funds. The whole idea is not to come at all. I'm assuming that's the main goal for everybody, to make sure that we're all self-sustained.
I have a question for you. Would you consider this event yours or the city's?
These events are mine, but working closely together with the city.
It's been our impression that they were owned by VSPI and that you were a third-party promoter handling specifically security and event logistics. It's come to our attention that you own the websites in which we paid for, correct?
Not technically, not necessarily, no, ma'am.
Okay, well, then we need to talk about that.
Correct.
How are the websites paid for?
Through Bird Promotions.
Okay. I have POs that show allocations for expenses for specifically websites for two of our events, $9,950, both of them.
Okay.
Why is that money and that PO written as website allocation?
I'd have to go back exactly to what you're talking about, because with all due respect, these aren't the only events that we're working on, and it's a big marketing deal that we do across the board, not only specifically here. So I'd have to go back, and I'll be more than happy to go back and sit with you on that.
And those funds were in addition to the funds that we allocated to you for marketing expenses. So we would like some clarification on that. Moving forward, for an event like Crawfish, it looked like there was a charge of $45 per ticket, $75 for VIPs. Running just basic numbers, it puts us in the range of potentially $70,000 in profit just from ticket sales. What operating expenditures do you have for Crawfish Festival?
Again, I did not come with that and was prepared for that. I thought,
Raul, you're an event producer. You've done this for very many years. You can tell me what your expenses are.
And to be with all due respect, Aaron, I thought we were here to talk about marketing dollars. We're talking about profits here. You're asking about my business as far as what the return, how am I doing my financial? That's what you're asking me. The question is not about marketing, or at least correct me if I'm wrong. What exactly is it that you, what is your question?
We My question is, what are your operating expenses?
For the crawfish festival itself, correct. From the top of my head, it could be up to about, range up to 50,000, 60,000.
But what? It's not cheap. What would they be? Are you paying for security?
Oh, absolutely.
Who are you paying for?
We pay. The security is paid through, of course, the CV that they approve to pay on the security and the police department. But everything else, the operational expenses, it adds up from overhead, from staffing, from just logistics of it, the setting up, the rentals of. I mean, we have costs from hotel rooms. We do a lot of hotel rooms for the staff as well. So it does add up. But I'll be more than happy to provide that with you.
Let me just clarify something real quick. I think we're on two different channels right now. And from the answer to my question, I literally just said kind of like, we were under the impression that these events were owned by the city and they were our events. So obviously, one, the spending was supposed to be handled a certain way because it was an in-house event. Normally, we don't question your operating expenses or anything if it was a regular event. These events were, I'm going to say, sold as city events, and that is the issue that we have here, that we don't own the websites, we don't own anything. That's why I ask you the question. When you say, these are my events, well, that clarifies why we don't own it, but the problem is that wasn't how it was supposed to be.
Yeah.
That's so not how...
They were presented by the CVB as a CVB event.
So we were under a different impression, and we had a different
goals
and guidelines. I mean, this is something we were generating. We were trying to generate, and it was going to be city-owned. Then it's a whole different deal. Erin, the question she's asking is regarding that. If it was a city-owned event, well, we want to see P&Ls. We want to see everything.
Correct.
If it's not a city event, then we're...
Don't really have the right to that.
Well, we have a problem from the get-go because we were under the impression...
See his financial, you know, that's well, think, we really can't.
If the other issue that we have is that with a CVB event, they can do one day events. In the fact that we're just going to do the Rio Grande Valley, the people that are going to be day trippers more just to get, you know, shoulder month type activities going, right? Mm-hmm. Our committee runs on hot tax. Okay, so ours, we want it to be more than a one-day event so that we have people that are going to be staying in our hotels.
Correct.
To generate our hotel tax.
Correct.
So this is why there's a little confusion here, because all these events are one-day events, and they're not promoting people to stay over in hotels. They're just there to do the event, which is cool. You know, but it's a different guideline that we kind of have with the CVB, you know, because that's a one-day event, and that's cool, and we want people to come here in the shoulder months and enjoy themselves and have a good time and have stuff to do. But when people come in for their events, it's, you know, usually an event where you would have to stay overnight.
Correct.
You know. And use the hotels and generate that hotel tax. And that's what we're more specific to in our guidelines here as a committee.
And just to keep in mind, our goal, because I know exactly, you got heads in the beds of the goal for the island, correct? And if you notice in some of the events, a lot of our events end early, 9 o'clock, give or take, 10 o'clock, because the whole idea is that we want to push everybody to go out to the restaurants that are here, they're still open, to the bars, so they can... You can have some more indirect economical impact for the city.
Right. That's cool. However, that does not promote people staying overnight in bed.
Too late to drink. They might want to just stick around.
I mean, if they're smart, they will.
That's the whole idea.
Know, but yeah, but that's, you know, therein lies the difference.
Correct. Correct.
Yeah. Yes.
Just my issue is honestly, and I'll be perfectly clear with you guys. If it was a promoter's event that would have come, not a seed event from the city, my vote would have been probably completely different, because the $30,000 that we awarded, honestly, it's not there with the heads and beds. Being a seed money, then I understand that we were trying to create events, but my main issue is how fair would this be to other promoters that come regarding the amount of money awarded with the amount of heads and beds that we're receiving. And I'm not trying to attack you guys. We're just trying to figure it out, and we need to figure this out moving forward. This is something that obviously it's, for me at least, it's a game changer regarding these events. Which events would you consider out of these, or which ones are yours, Raul? Because I do need to know very clearly which events are going to be handled as internal and which events are not going to be handled as internal.
Pretty much most of them, you have tacos and tequila, chrome and the sand, craft beer, and the crawfish. And I actually have four more that I have not introduced, because we kind of hit, you know, we're trying to, I want to make sure that we get over these first to see what's going on.
Out of the ones, those. Our Christmas event, no, right? Okay. I just want to check.
I just think we all felt very comfortable giving that much money because we thought it was also going to the city.
If I just want to add, just and absolutely, and again, like Raul mentioned, we're not planning to go anywhere. We're planning to bring these events here. And now that it's been clear that there are events, we are excited to come over and present to you if we need financial, especially, and we anticipate we will, to come in front of you guys and ask you and have the presentation from our behalf. So there's a clear understanding that it's our event, this is what we're asking for. And of course, you have the final say, so where, yeah, we think we can help you out, and then no, we think we can't. We're more than welcome to that. Of course, every little bit helps, but if it's not possible, we completely understand and respect your opinion as well. But we do value your time and what you do here. Thank you.
Thank you for that, Ricky. And just, you know, to your point, part of that, what that looks like in full transparency, providing an operation budget next to a marketing budget does help us have a better scope of what these events look like as a whole. If you have $50,000, $60,000, $70,000 of expenditures, if you are not making money on these expenditures, it makes a better case for you here for us allocating some funds to help produce and build these events up. We are not here to break down events. We are here to make sure that they are successful and that our investments are a good return for us.
Yeah, and right? Absolutely. And again, anything that, again, when we come and present any new event or the events or whatever we have when we come to ask, by all means, anything that falls within the guidelines that you ask for, we're open book. We'll be more than happy to give you whatever it is required from those guidelines. Absolutely.
Between just off the cuff, I couldn't imagine that sort of an operation bill, considering that your stages and lighting were all in kind. You didn't have to pay anything out to the CVB. We're talking about staffing. All of your marketing was taken care of. I, as an event producer, I'm awestruck by those numbers of operational expenses. So I look forward to seeing what that looks like. Moving on, you did provide some invoices for us to look at, and I have some questions about those particular documents you provided. How is it that a web designer is able to charge the same exact amount for different websites, i.e. you have a 4-page build out, you have a 7-page build out? They are not $10,000 websites, or they shouldn't be. Why do you use this vendor, and why do you use this vendor? Let's start there.
You want to go ahead?
Years experience.
The reason that I do use this vendor, and of course I have to go back to what you're talking about, because is there something there that doesn't? Of course I'll go back and do what I need to do. Correct, but this company has worked for years. Throughout, I mean, I have relationships of over 20-some years with a lot of these vendors. And, you know, if it's not broken, why fix it? You know, you build good trust, you build a good relationship, and that's pretty much what we're at right now. The team that I have, and it's a good long relationship that to this date, nobody has ever, you know, done me wrong as far as that I know. But I'll be more than glad to look at that.
Yeah, there are several AWS charges, CloudFront, RDS, Route 53, S3, that are all extremely excessive charges. I have personal experience building, but I am by no means a professional in that field. But when I was able to, ask others that are professionals about this, they agreed that it was excessive. So I would ask that in the future, if you're working with us, that you please reevaluate what that looks like. A lot of those expenses are, again, extremely unnecessary for these types of website build-outs.
I appreciate you looking into that, because I'll take a look at that as myself.
Thank you. There's another vendor that you use, multi-level services. I was confused by his invoice. I couldn't understand how a tech and marketing company could misspell their website on their invoice. And on that specific invoice, they also were accounting for strategic sessions, of which there were these invoices are identical per event, which I couldn't imagine. You have the same you need four strategic sessions for each event. I'm not saying that that's not possible. I just don't know that it seems to be necessary for that amount. And they also say that there's website maintenance. I have a hard time understanding how a different agency then crosses over to do website maintenance when we have already paid out the, roughly $8,000 for that annually. Do you know enough to speak? Do you know enough about the multi-level services invoice to give me more information on why they have website maintenance in their invoice?
I am not a techie guy, I'll be honest with you. but I wouldn't be able to defend myself in that sense right there. But I would. I don't mind looking into it with you and going over that, just to make sure what exactly it is that you're concerned on that. Yeah.
There is another vendor, I think off the top of my head, Footprints. They were a vendor for street team promotions.
Yes.
Can you tell me more about what Footprints did for street team promotions?
Well, they did, and they still do. That's a company that I've used for years. And pretty much what he handles is, or that company handles is, they have a group of people that's exactly what it is, a street team, and we end up covering from all the way up to Falcon Lake, all the way up to up this way. So throughout three, four counties that we cover, and he sends out, a group of 10 people, and that's his service. His service is street teams, and he'll provide them for years and I've never had any issues with that.
That's wonderful. I'm a firm believer of direct marketing myself. I think
old school. I still put posters on the telephone poles.
Yep, on feet on the ground.
Yeah.
So, Visionary Printing and Design. I just would the $4,500 life size beer mug. Just some of these types of expenses just bother me because we don't even allocate $4,500 to some of our events. So spending it on a life-size beer mug kind of irritates me a little bit for marketing expenditures. Davila Enterprises, there was an allotted amount of $10,000 for digital marketing, radio, TV, and billboards. Can we please have some tear sheets for those? I don't know. I hadn't personally seen any billboards. Personally saw very little social media on these events. I don't know if the rest of our committee can chime in there on what you saw for advertising on these events. I know Tacos went 1 year without a website. We got it up the next year and things like this. But as for marketing spends and things like this, only in our packet we have a picture of 102 FM Tejano station. For a Facebook Live, which typically is a free endorsement, right? So if we continue working with you, I would please urge that you can aggregate better examples of what that looks like, even presentations so that we have a visual of what these look like.
Absolutely, yes.
Well, with marketing dollars, I think what Aaron means, and that is definitely since apparently this is no longer an in-house event, or none of them are. Like an invoice coming from Bird Promotions or anybody is not really proof of spend. We need the actual invoices from Facebook, like we said, or Facebook, Twitter, whatever we're using, Instagram, TikTok. And that would represent like a proof of the spend and not really an invoice from anybody else, just like actual hard proof. I have a question for Miro. On Crawfish Festival this year, have you been paid out completely already, or 25% extra after post-event report?
For the Crawfish Festival?
Yes.
The one that happened back in April?
Yes.
This year, yes, sir.
Okay, I just have a question on this to staff. Like, that one was tabled. I think we never retouched it or anything. So how does the post-event report get sidetracked and get paid directly or already done?
It's paid out through the MOU.
But isn't there supposed to be an approval by one of the committees for the 25% disbursement, or it's not necessary?
It all depends. Every event is different. Sometimes they're paid out 75, 25, or 100%. For example, for Sandcastle Days, he prefers it all paid out at the very end of the event. So it all just depends on the event.
But all of them have to go through approval, correct? By us or CBB or somebody, or no? Or was this
the post-event?
Or was this because it was in-house, it didn't have to go through this process? Here's my question.
In the past, we didn't do the post-events. I think I mentioned that in the emails to Aaron. We didn't provide the post-events. We just didn't, because the same reason, you know, we were considering them as in-house or in-house produced events. So different mechanisms, and we were relying on in-house internally reviewing them and paying out the vendor.
So then my question is, did these start as in-house events, or were they always
yours? I had some, yes, ma'am.
They were always yours?
Yes, ma'am.
So did you come to us, or we came to you?
I was approached by Mr. Blake Henry to get something going for the fall, and I proposed these to him, and he liked it, and we took it from there.
There is some confusion regarding in-house and owned events. The city does not own these events. This started about 3 years ago when there was a clear need for events on the island. One of our SEO searches are what's happening on the in the island, what events are happening. So our organization came together and decided, like, okay, we need events that are still self-sustainable, that ability to grow year after year, that can draw people, preferably hotel rooms. But it's also indirect spending that comes along with it. So the folks that come here that are enjoying the event, the festival, for a couple hours, they go out to the beach, they go buy something at a shop, they go to a restaurant, et cetera. Still, we're still receiving an upside in sales tax as a result. This initiative started as we wanted to drive events here. It was born out of that. It organically grew to where it is right now. Some people are hung up, do we own these events? Some people are saying, no, we don't own these events. We do not own these events. We don't have the resources and staff to put these events on. We don't have the talent. We have to remain true to what our organization does, and we are promoting and marketing this destination for visitors. I don't have anybody on staff that dedicated to building that or marketing that, and et cetera. So to satisfy that need, we work with this group to come up with some ideas. And they came to the table with these ideas. This sounded great. Obviously, Tacos and Tequila is going into its, what, third year right now? Yeah. And it's won several Texas Travel Awards as a result. So that's what we wanted in the first place, right? We don't own these events. That's how it grew. So some little history on this. And I think a lot of people through the years have gotten like, oh, this is a city event. Well, yeah, it started as a city event. There's an idea out of it. But we don't own it. I don't want to own these events. I don't want that, you know, I want Raul to come to the table looking for, just like any other SEC promoter, looking for funding. And that's up to you guys as a committee to sort that out. But we don't own these events. I'm not interested in owning these events.
I guess then to they were presented as a CVB event to us explicitly. Okay, this is where it goes in a different way, because if it's their event, then why didn't they come promote their own event?
why was it presented by the CBB staff? And obviously these are in recorded meetings where the CBB staff came to present them. We went over multiple applications that were not completed by the CBB staff, not the promoter.
Which also makes us, last meeting, you know, we kind of came down on Lori, I'll be honest with you, because this stuff was not done properly. And at the end of the day, knowing it's not your real issue, technically, it's more coming from this side of it. Now it's like, now we look really silly.
So I apologize.
No, I mean, I know it's not right. You know,
it is a discrepancy that has now led us to, you know, which guidelines are we following? We're allocating exuberant amounts of funding towards new events that we otherwise wouldn't have allocated that kind of money towards. I think that more than just this committee was misled, and there were city leaders that also were under the impression that we owned these events, and they were also astonished that we didn't own the websites and other things. But you know,
like, I mean, I agree with Blake on pretty much everything. We don't have the amount of people. We don't have it.
Yeah,
we do want to generate
transparency.
We do want to generate new events and everything. But, and this is the big but, it was sold to us as a city event. And that's where everything goes south.
Right.
To me, that's where everything goes south, because like I said, two different standards. Right. And that's a big problem, given the amount of funds allocated. And I don't want to dwell on it, and I don't want to, but I do have, I mean, there is a lot of steps that should have been done. There's a lot of other things that should never have been done. And it's not that we thought it was a city event. It was sold to us as an in-house event. Even until last meeting, it was still an in-house event.
Yep.
So just so you know, like for us right now,
it's not on you.
You saying it's our event, that's a big shock and it's a big game changer, because that's not what we bought into.
And just to get into that, and going forward, now that
like
we're clear,
I said, absolutely, it has to be said. I mean,
we'll do exactly
the problem that we have is this. It's not with you guys. It's not with anybody. It's the whole procedure of this was bad from the beginning. If they would have said, you know what, this is first year event, he's the promoter, we looked for him, and this is how we think that we can help them, then it would have been a total different decision. It might have been the same amount, might have not, but we didn't get that choice. Because that's not what was sold to us, or that's not what we were presented. So that's our main problem, that's not how we began. So now we're 3 years in, we're thinking it's our event, and then it's like, oh, it's not your event. Good to know.
Yeah.
I mean, like I said, it's not on you guys. I mean, it's
and that's
it's
what we,
just,
we
that's
appreciate,
the problem.
We appreciate the clarity. Again,
and I don't want to dwell on it, but I don't see either how we can just like, pretend it's never happened.
Move on
either.
From this.
I mean, from now on, obviously, on these events,
we'll be here.
We'll see your faces, because that's definitely not going to come as an in-house event anymore. I mean, it's too many things to address, I would think. I mean, we have that problem, and like, for example, funds being disbursed without a post-event report, well, that's no bueno. All that sort of thing. And that's just one example. I mean, there's a lot of...
There are many examples, unfortunately. And, you know, I think our committee is apologetic for that type of misunderstanding and lack of communication potentially from a different department, from the CBB, because obviously you weren't taught how to properly fill out an application and what post-event reports look like and how to prepare a proper presentation and expenditures and receipts and all of the things that every other event brings to us, so that we have enough information to make an educated decision on what we are allocating. And remember, these are public funds. This is not just a private fund where we're deciding that this works and this doesn't. So this is why we need the transparency. This is why we ask for the P&Ls. We want to support you. We want to build your events up.
We want
and the feeling is mutual. We want to support you guys. We want to help the island grow because there's nowhere else to go as far as but up. You know, that's the whole goal. And if it makes anybody feel better, I mean, we're not going anywhere. So the festivals are still going to be here. You know.
Good.
Yeah, just so to make it clear, this is something that would have gone a whole different way if it was a different promoter, and not because of you, but not even put you in the picture. Procedure-wise, we're completely off.
I have one more question. It's actually for probably Lori. Lori, when we are allocating like the $25 plus $5,000, which would go to the SPIPD, why is it that your department is not directly paying the SPIPD internally? Why is it that you're funding him to then turn around and pay the PD?
Thanks for asking that, because we, in the beginning, were going to pay the PD direct, but through our finance director, he recommended that the promoter pay the PD and the security companies direct versus it coming from us, from department to department. He would rather it go through the promoter since he was the one of the event and responsible for the event and gets the insurance for the event, so had to pay the security for the event. Because that was
thank
what
you
we
for that
do.
Clarification. Yes, of course. Mm-hmm. I don't have any further questions.
I just have a question for staff, and this is just to clarify. If this would have been not an in-house event, would you guys have recommended this spend on these events?
Yes.
In hindsight?
I would have, yes.
Okay, well, I think right now we're at a standstill regarding, to me, like when you say I own the event, that literally clarified a lot to me. There is some things that are gonna be discussed, but that's gonna be internal discussion. I think for now, thank you guys for coming. I mean, this needed to happen and this needed to be clarified, because to me, it's all about transparency. Like if you tell me, you know what, this is a red rooster and do you wanna buy it? And if I buy it and then it turns out to be yellow, just paint it red, that's a game changer. If you give me a red one, then let it be red. And in this case, it wasn't. Not blaming anybody. I don't think the blame game does anything for anybody. Just we need to be very clear moving forward, and we need to be very clear with the management of these events. So
thank you guys for coming.
I mean,
thank you.
Really appreciate the invitation. We're glad to be here. And I'd like to thank everybody individually for doing what you do, because I know it's not easy. So thank you, guys.
Thank you.
I think this, I don't know if anybody has anything else.
Not good.
Then we're going to move on to agenda item 5.2, discussion and possible action to approve funding request for Walk for Women. Rios Moore.
Yes, we have the Walk for Women happening October 10th through the 12th, 2025 at Louis' Backyard and the Convention Center. They are requesting $5,000 in marketing. This is their first year requesting. And we do have Jules Wilkes here to answer any questions.
Hi, you all. Thanks very much for this opportunity.
Thank you for being patient.
Yes. First, I'd like to start off, we have a little video, IT video, to kind of overview our event, our three-day event, and I'd like to show that to you first.
IT, can you play the video? The Walk for Women.
Thank you.
That was just kind of an overview of our 3 days. I want to read a little short history. This one? Thank you. Walk for Women is a 501c3 nonprofit organization dedicated to providing financial support to women in the Rio Grande Valley as they battle breast cancer. Entirely volunteer-driven, our mission is simple yet powerful: to ease the burden of cancer-related expenses, allowing these women to focus on their healing. Over the past 21 years, Walk for Women has raised and donated more than $689,000 to women in the Rio Grande Valley, benefiting 135 families. Our assistance covers critical expenses, including utility bills, insurance deductibles, travel costs for treatment, and essential medical tests, needs that often fall outside traditional health care coverage. Our goal is to make their lives just a little easier during an unmanageably difficult time. Walk for Women began as a grassroots effort in South Padre Island to honor, support, and uplift women battling breast cancer in the lower Rio Grande Valley. What started as a small walk among friends and family has grown into one of the island's most meaningful annual events. Uniting survivors, supporters, and local businesses in a powerful show of community and compassion. Over the years, the event has evolved to be a walk weekend. Casino night is on Friday night, and then the actual walk takes place on Sunday. And then we have an additional event called the Spice Cook-Off in February. But at its heart, Walk for Women remains focused on one mission: no woman should face breast cancer alone. Each October during Breast Cancer Awareness Month, the island turns pink as volunteers, walkers, survivors, and families gather to walk, remember, celebrate, and give hope. The community partnership outreach here for you guys is, as part of Casino Night Weekend, Walk for Women is partnering with local hotels, VRMSs, the vacation rental management systems, and businesses to enhance the weekend experience for our guests. We've asked hotels and VRMSs to provide us special room night rates and island businesses to extend discounts on activities and dining in return. In return, we're promoting these partners through our website, social media, and event materials. This collaboration not only enriches the visitor experience and encourages guests to stay for the weekend, creating heads and beds, but also showcases the remarkable community spirit behind Walk for Women. Together, we're giving people a reason to stay, play, and give back, all while raising vital funds to support women in the Rio Grande Valley in their fight against breast cancer. Now, I have some handouts I can give you guys that details what we do for each of the events.
Feel like a teacher? Feel like a teacher?
I've been a teacher in my previous life.
I can tell the way you're handing it out.
Seriously?
I feel like I'm getting ready for a test.
Can I copy off of you?
I'll let you.
I was a teacher. I'm going to get my other paper over here. The first page is just an overview of, I don't even have a copy of what I have here, but it's an overview of the casino night. The second page shows our, where we were asking for $5,000 to supplement, you know, us. We are totally volunteer. and the $5,000 will be utilized to help us promote this wider. Now, Facebook costs money to advertise, and Instagram does too. And we have a super, you know, talented person who can do all this. But you know, if we could promote it more.
Oh, I did it again. I'm so sorry.
We want people to hear you.
Thank you. I'm not used to doing this.
You're doing great. Wonderful.
Okay. Anyway, because it, we really think it can grow. It's grown a bunch in 20 years from like a handful of us, and now we're just all over the place. But it can continue to grow, we feel. And if we can get it out there more, I mean, people from Corpus and Austin and San Antonio can come and spend the weekend and you know, really get involved. So that's our hope. There's more going on here. You know, there's more happening with LNG and people like that that we could pull in. And so we hope you'll consider us.
What have you spent traditionally on social media in the past?
Really, not much of anything on social media. No,
this would be something new.
Yeah, this is new.
Jules, let me chime in because this is your first time here, so let me give you a little intro.
Okay.
Everybody here knows your event. It's a great event. We all love it. It's a very awe-inspiring event, and it helps a lot of people. That being said, our committee, what we have to do is guarantee that the funds that we allocate brings heads in beds,
yes,
meaning people.
Yes.
That's going to be your challenge.
Yes.
That's going to be our challenge with you to help you grow your event.
Yes.
The more you guys grow and the more people we bring from the outside, meaning certain mile radius to stay, that helps your event and that helps our sponsors, which are HOT people.
Okay. But also, if you look at it, casino night's on the 10th and then the Walk for Women's on the 12th. So, you know, that Saturday is a free day. Right? Mm-hmm. To go around the island, explore the island. So the fact that they wanted to use this event to advertise towards Houston, San Antonio, all the areas outside of here, and make it a weekend for the people to come down for this event, then you're going to get their heads in beds from doing that anyway.
And I completely agree, but I wasn't going there. So basically, the money that we put into marketing or advertising has to turn into heads in beds. It's your first year with the HOT application. It's not your first year doing the event, so we are not going to even remotely tell you how to run your event. Absolutely, that's your expertise. It's just market outside, like the money that we grant, it's always try to use it for outside marketing so you can bring us heads and beds. And if you have questions regarding this, if you need help or anything, CVB staff will be happy to assist you in guiding you, like how to market or where channels or anything like that, if it's something new. I literally have no questions. I have no problem. My question is, what is staff recommendation on this?
Staff recommends $5,000 in marketing.
Okay, so we have $5,000 in marketing recommendation. I'm going to be brutally honest. $5,000 is not even remotely close in the balance right now, but it's your first year. I want to see where it goes. I do think it's something that can produce your surveys, mm-hmm, everything regarding this. I think it's something that is going to help you prove to us next year, hey, this is what we did, this is what we got, and that helps us help you. So this being a first year, knowing your event for many years, I have no problem with going with staff recommendation. I'm going to make a motion to approve $5,000 for marketing purposes.
I second.
And I have a second. Do we have any discussion before? No. Nope. Questions? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All against? Motion carries. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Bring us the information.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much. And
very well put together.
Like your survey.
Yes. And the survey, yes.
It shows that you're trying to find out where they're staying and how long. Really good.
Get it filled out. Get us that info, and good luck.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Moving on to next agenda, item 5.3, discussion and possible action to approve funding request for Musicians Run.
Yes, we have the SPI Musicians Run happening November 1st, 2025 at Beach Water Park. They are requesting $12,000 in marketing, and we do have Angie Wattes here to answer any questions.
Hi there.
Hello.
Angie Juarez, SPI Musicians Run with 26.2 events and consulting. It is my event.
Okay. I'm pretty sure everybody...
Just a clarification.
I'm pretty sure everybody knows this event, right?
Correct? We're going into our seventh year. The video?
What are we doing different?
Overall, this is our second year going in with the timed.
Okay.
So...
How did that help?
It did help. We did increase our attendance. We had 96 last year. So we jumped from 482 to 796. So that was a pretty big jump. So we're going to do that again. We have to make a couple of adjustments logistically in regards to our awards, because we did want to make sure to do the awards. So that was good overall. That's the big difference coming in this year. I do want to do my fiduciary duty and start lowering down every year as I come forward. So,
how many days is the event?
It is still a one-day event, but I am doing a packet pickup on Friday, so that brings people in. And we do the day of packet pickup where we have them come in the entire day.
I have a quick question for staff. Have we, with other runs, analyzed, like, having the packet pickup and a dinner the day before? How does that affect our occupancy? Is it something that we've kind of looked into or something?
I know in the past, whether it's the SEC or CBA, they always encourage the packet pickup the day before. That way it brings people out, and in the evening as well.
Yeah.
And that way we have...
So we start early packet pickup the night before, and then we have it the entire day, the day of, so that people are arriving during the day, so that they spend the day there on the island.
Because I think a lot of the runs, what they're doing like a welcome dinner or kind of cocktail, like a right. reception or something. This is just an idea. I'm not telling you how to run your event at all. It's just, it helps you bring more heads and beds because that generates one extra night for all the people involved. And it's, I mean, your event is a fun event anyway, so might as well make it right. 2 days.
And something that, so we're promoting, what I'm doing a lot of is promoting a lot into the Corpus, San Antonio, Houston, and Dallas area. I'm seeing more and more people coming out of the Dallas area, so that's pretty interesting. Getting some, that is generating some organic growth out of 17 different states. We saw about, I think it was about 35 people out of states that was, there was no advertising. This will be the third year somebody now makes specific travel arrangements out of Alaska to come in. There hasn't been any advertising really in Mexico. We had 15 people come out of Reynosa and Matamoros, one or two out of Monterrey. So might start, spotting a little bit more into Mexico. But some here in the valley, and the big idea is to go Texas regionally and bring people in to do their a staycation here, travel regionally and bring them in from Dallas, Houston, San Antonio, and make it a longer stay. They're staying 3 days, 4 days, and those people that are coming in from out of town.
Are you in black numbers already?
We're getting there. That's starting to occur. So the numbers past 500, that's starting to happen. Paying back a little bit.
So 500 is pretty much our break-even point.
That's starting to get there. So starting to get some recoveries from the post-COVID stuff. So that's what really hurt.
I mean, I don't want to know your number. I just want to know where we're at.
No. Yeah, the COVID, when we did that dip, because year three we had hit past 600, and then the post-COVID having dipping back into 300, it was almost like a reset, and then now we're going back. So,
I have a question about your room blocks. So it says you have 50 room blocks. You're working with Isla Grande and Holiday Inn Resort. Have you always worked with these two hotels?
So since it started with the Beach Water Park, I started, and it was Schlitterbahn, so sure. I started there, and then with Isla Grande. Then I did, I reached out to, it was the Best Western. So those have been the ones that I've been with. I'm open to other ones that are on the north end.
Are you making the phone calls for these room blocks?
Yes.
You are calling the hotel personally and saying, I would like X amount of room blocks?
Yes.
Perfect. And you've had this event for 7 years?
Yes, ma'am.
Any chance you have followed up before the event to see how your room blocks are filling?
Yes.
And what does that look like?
So people are asking, they'll ask about how things are going. So in regards to rates, right now, I'm not sure exactly how that is. So I need to do a follow up as of right now.
That's okay. I didn't actually mean for
as of right now. I'm,
for this year, yes. I'm curious what your procedure is in the past, or if you have that information where you can tell us what that looks like. I guess what I'm looking for is typically it seems that room blocks are difficult for some events because people book very last minute, right? And so room blocks you want to book in advance, but when you have people that are booking more last minute, they don't have a block anymore. Sometimes that leads to those room nights actually not being aggregated in the numbers.
I follow up with them because then I'll get people that message me and will get mad. And so, hey, you know, so if I don't follow up with them, then I'll end up seeing that because I follow up and I do all the interaction with the people online.
So you feel that your room blocks are actually filled?
Yes. And I'll hear about it if they say, hey, there isn't something there. Or I'll follow up because at the chance that I can potentially get a room myself, because if I need to fill a room or...
You do cross-market with your website to the room blocks and the information,
yes.
All that.
Yes. Yeah. So with Isla Grande, they work better with the phone calls. The Best Western, they work better with the links. So... Those two are a little bit of a different, you know, and that kind of works better. Some people like calling in and some people like doing the
how are we with sponsorships this year?
So in regards to the liquor, that's still a little bit on the tough side. So I'm still doing there's a lot of grassroots in regards to still having to do that. There's more smaller sponsors coming in this year. So that's where they're in regards to making the commitments, that's actually a lot going on this month.
Because, I mean, with this one, because I know your event, we've held it many years, your main sponsors should start being, like, for example, tequilas, mm-hmm. Mexican beers, stuff like that. That could be your main lifeline. Newer tequilas that are coming up on the market, I think they would be interested in sponsoring. So that's just throwing it out there. Talk to these people. You can probably get a good chunk of money for advertising and probably even sponsorship in kind, but more like money. Mm-hmm. That way we don't have to give you that much.
Yeah. There's a lot. That's taking a little bit more legwork behind the scenes, yes.
I think it's worth it. Just letting you know, I think it's worth it because of the nature of the event. And I know it's a fun event with music and this and that. So it's like something that I definitely think you should look into. Yeah. But for now, I'm going to ask, do we have a staff recommendation on this?
Staff recommends 12,000 marketing.
12,000, we had 13.5. I mean, it's going down, that's good. I mean, do I have any other questions, a motion, something?
Well, I think it's important to mention that 479 room nights is a pretty good chunk of room nights.
It is. I mean, it's still the thing with this event, room nights and the amount requested has never really matched that much. It's a very expensive event. Unfortunately, like by the nature of the event, it's a very expensive having live musicians all over, et cetera, et cetera. I like the fact that they put timed in because that brings in more serious runners as well.
Right.
But it is an expensive event to produce. I mean, you have mariachis all over. So that's not cheap, having people singing all over. And I guess, I mean, it's a fun event. So, I mean, I have no problem with the event. We just need to start getting towards that 500 gold real quick so that way we can go down on the sponsorship level. I have no problem. But
I make a motion to give 12,000 towards marketing.
I have a motion for 12,000. Do I have a second?
I'll second.
Second. Any other further discussion? And just that, like, let's get to black numbers. It's already, we're getting there, but let's get to it. And sponsors, tequilas, beers, everybody.
I'm going to give you the contact for the tequila in Brownsville. He's really, really trying to get into the market. And so it's a really, I think we talked about this last year a little bit, but I'll give you his contact because he really is trying to get, like, on the island more present. So this could be a couple bottles donated, even just to get his name out there, a banner.
Money.
You know, yeah. Perfect. Or money. Oh, or money.
Yes.
I mean, it's win-win. Anyway, so I have a motion and a second. Any other questions? All in favor?
Aye.
All against? Motion carries. Thank you. But yes, I mean, talk to that info and let's get going with that. So moving on to agenda item 5.4, discussion regarding the setting of the next meeting for Tuesday, September 16th. Ms. Alexis.
Next meeting date, September 16, 2025 at 2 p.m.
Sounds good. Meeting adjourned. Thank you, everybody.